When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 27th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Framber Valdez, 3.2 innings, 600 runs yesterday. It was terrible. I don't know why he's not throwing his cutter. That's like the best thing that I've really got excited about with Framber Valdez. He didn't throw a single one. Has a 23% swing strike rate, 33% CSW on the year. Why are you not doing that? I don't know. He went heavy on changeups instead. The whole thing makes no sense to me, and I'm really frustrated by it. I know it was still the Rangers, but still, he's a lefty. I don't know. It makes no sense. It's his fourth straight start of at least four and runs, so he gets fourth out of five, I should say. So he gets the ace, is going to ace label removed. I understand they had the ankle stuff and the calf thing, and this should have been kind of him getting back on track, and he's not there. I don't think that he's bad. I think he's going to be really good the rest of the year. It's just does not deserve the ace is going to ace label because we don't assume it right now. Freddy Peralta is looking like that, though. Six innings, zero runs, four hits, zero walks, and 13 strikeouts for a golden goal, 24 whiffs, and 43% CSW, as his fastball and slider and curve just completely obliterated the Reds. Four-seamer was stupid good. 71% CSW on his seven curveballs, 45% each CSW on the slider and four-seamer. I mean, this is it. This is the guy I've been saying, like, it's there. Why aren't you doing it? And then he did it. So hopefully just do it again. I mean, it was the Reds in Milwaukee, which is different than on the road. So do want to mention that, but still, that's amazing. Peter Lambert, amazing start. Super weird. Birthday party on the Rockies in the Nash in Washington, D.C. Just two strikeouts in six innings, zero runs, three hits, one walk. Like, not believable, but hey, good stuff, buddy. Gavin Williams, I gave myself a streaming victory. I don't know if I should have, but I feel like this was still helpful for you, even though it was only four innings, it was 87 pitches. Zero earned runs, though. 1.25 whip with five base runners, five strikeouts. I feel like if you streamed him, you didn't get a win, but you did. It did help you, right? You got your five strikeouts. You got zero earned runs. So you got a four innings of zero ERA. And like, the whip is fine at 125 and not much, that highly expressed at it. So I gave myself that, but don't love it. I mean, he has a heater foundation. It's just the secondaries are just not consistent enough right now, and that's it. Like, once those get going, then everything is good. He had 15 whiffs in this, but it prevented him from being efficient, and that's really the biggest deal there. Sorry for stifling that cough. Ryan Walker against the Athletics. Both of these were bullpen games, and like, they decided beforehand, like, yeah, we're doing a bullpen game. That's great. Yeah, that means that Hogan Harris, who we expected to start out, did not do it. He just didn't start outright like we expected, and it was very annoying. He didn't do much. It was 3.1 innings of 551 pitches, and it's just frustrating. I remember, actually, that was Freddie Tarnock who opened for that. I was talking to some scouts in spring training about kind of the Jared Schuster deal and how that was really interesting with Sean Murphy. I was really excited about that. They're like, well, we like Tarnock more, and these were Atlanta guys. So maybe follow that, but I mean, I didn't really say anything in this that made me think like, oh, Tarnock is going to be the next thing. So I'm not really excited about him. And we'll just kind of wait and see how that develops for next year, I guess. Sandy Alcantara is amazing again. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but that was so good to watch yesterday. I watched all of it. Nine innings, one run, five hits, one walk, and seven Ks against the Rays. It was so good. He was even hitting 99.9. I said 100. Guys, 1 tick off of 100. But he was doing that at the end of the game. 97 pitches to go all nine innings because he throws those four seamers and sinkers so well inside. His changeup was so filthy, arm side and down. Slider was really good. Seven whiffs on that one in this one. This is it. This is the guy. And yeah, there are times that the fastball still allows hits. You know, there were the one earned run he had was really a single that turned into a double because the left fielder dove and he shouldn't have. And so then the outfielder backed him up and there was a double. And then the next batter hit a ground ball to where the second baseman normally would be. And I guess he was shifted poorly. And that went into right field for a single. And there's your run. And that watching that was just like, oh, I saw the ground ball. I was like, this is an out. Oh, there's no one there. So very frustrating to see that. It kind of made me think of like, oh, if he only had a single, would the second baseman be there for a double play? Which means then that would have been a double play pitch and no earned runs, but then the outfielder dove. Nah, not really. They shifted against that batter and that wouldn't have been a hit anyway. My point is, Sandy Alcantara is doing pretty much everything that you want him to do. He looks like the guy that won the Cy Young last year. We've also seen him have a game like this and then the next one be like 600 runs. So I'm not going to say that he's completely locked in. We've also seen him in the starts that we've seen where he allows like 400 runs. He does this for most of the game, and then it's one inning where it falls apart, either like the first or second or something. So I can't really say that Sandy Alcantara is fixed right now, but this is great. This is why I've been like so high on him, is because I know he can do this and just kind of win your week almost with it. I mean, that's an insane start, especially for points leagues. Yoán Oviedo against the Padres, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. 38% four seamers have returned 41% strikes, and yet this was so good. That makes no sense to me. Like, this is really, really weird. Sure, the slider was good, but like, I'm not interested in chasing Oviedo with like too much of a volatile four seamer. Yusei Kikuchi against the Dodgers, very impressive. I'm very much in now. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks against the Dodgers. Got the win. 16 whiffs, 32% CSW. Was able to go 103 pitches. Sure, the whip was poor. He hung too many sliders, I think, in the upper half of the zone. But he put batters away with 4 seamers in the upper half. The new curveball is very good. It's slower and more movement, and he's throwing it better. I'm very much in on this with Yusei Kikuchi. I would be rostering him everywhere and holding. Carlos Rodon against the Mets did better. And it's really funny, actually, after this, I was just so curious, how did Yankee fans respond after they were just completely saying, like, oh my gosh, we have him for 5 years now after the last start and blah, 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 blah. They're much kinder because he went 5 innings of 1 earned run and in a win, and all of a sudden it just kind of changes. Guys, he's still really, really good. And this was 4 hits, 3 walks, and only 4 Ks. And I'm not going to say that this was all of a sudden like, oh, here he is. No, 3 walks and 4 Ks, right? And the slider did get 7 over 26 whiffs. It was good fastball slider separation. But the fastballs at the top of the zone were not overpowering enough. They were fouled off too much. And the put-away rate is not quite there in the four-seamer right now. So that is the thing I'm looking at moving forward for Carlos Rodon. He's got to get over that last hump of like those 2 strike counts becoming strikeouts and not walks into 3-2 and stuff. Or like losing a guy at like 3-1 or something like that. And I mean, losing a guy 3-1. You know what I mean. So I think he'll get there with it. I think over time, he's going to have more and more faith in that fastball and like have more faith really in his shoulder and his body as he makes that better. I don't think it's like he's now hurt and not going to be able to get back up to like those 96, 97 mile per hour starts. I think it's more of a matter of time as opposed to, well, now he's just worse and going to only have lower velocity in future seasons. I don't believe that. All right, we have a lot of other pitchers to talk about. Seth Lugo and Strider and Quintana. I'm going to talk about all of those, and of course, today and tomorrow starters after this break.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Seth Lugo against the Pirates did exactly what you want to do, and it's very exciting. It's great. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts, 3 hits, and 0 walks. And now he gets Coors and the Dodgers. And it's so annoying. Like, do you hold on to that? I don't want to start him against either one. I know it's the Dodgers, and like, maybe that could work because Seth Lugo is that good, but it's just, ugh. He's really, just treat him like a Holly. Like, you don't start Hollies against lead offenses, and those are lead offenses. Also, I think the Dodgers are going to get better offensively in some fashion at the deadline. They always do. So that's going to be not fun. And that stinks because now we got to wait like 3 weeks for Seth Lugo to start again. But I think you got to hold on to it. It's annoying. Ben Lively against the Brewers. The slider went 1-for-20 whiffs, and I know it was 6.2 innings of 200 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks, though. And I'm not seeing anything from Ben Lively that makes me think, like, oh, yeah, no, I need to add him and stream him. Spencer Strider, 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. He's 1 strikeout away from breaking his own record last year of fastest to 200 strikeouts in a season innings-wise. Yeah, that's crazy. He's obviously ESPN number one. As far as the Cy Young goes, I don't think he's going to win it. At least he shouldn't in my book, because he has a 3.71 ERA. And I'm very much about, like, ERA in innings pitched. And I love all the underlying metrics about, like, his process, and I think he is the best pitcher in the NL, but I don't think the Cy Young is the thing about the best pitcher in the NL. I think it's about the pitcher who did the best for their team this year, and that's ERA, unfortunately, which has a lot of factors involved in it, but Spencer Strider, to me, isn't the Cy Young because of that, and that's just another conversation for another time. Jose Quintana against the Yankees, 6 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. I'm in on Quintana right now because the command is there. Four seamers are upstairs, absolutely. Sinkers are arm side. Changeups and curveballs are spread out down. He's going against the Royals next, and like that is just, yep, this is how you do it. Brian Bello against Atlanta, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Good to see him come through for a poor quality start against Atlanta and a 1 whip. I'm fine with this. If you took the chance on Bayo, like, it could have been a lot worse. At least you got a 1 whip and 4 Ks, and really just 1 earned run off from what you want. He started throwing cutters, which was a thing on Twitter. I saw people were getting a little excited about that, which it could be a big thing for Bayo. Only threw 4 of them, though. It was an 80% strike rate, and I do like the idea that Bayo is a sinker and changeup guy, and the slider really hasn't developed further. So sometimes it is easier, and this is what I think Jack was saying inside of the PL Discord, which is great, that it's easier to learn to get a new pitch than to tweak a current one, especially in season. So adding a cutter that seemed like it was very good could be the thing that takes over for the slider, and then all of a sudden he's more of a 3-pitch guy that we like as opposed to the 4-seamer we don't really love and the slider we don't really love. So monitor that one. I mean, we're not going to really change anything about our Bayo assessment now. But if he is incorporating that cutter, I would be raising him up the list because that could be a real big difference maker, kind of like how Braxton Garrett added that for a bit. I mean, he did not sustain it, but we'll talk about that later. Jack Flaherty against Arizona did fine. I didn't really see anything that made me say, like, oh, no, now he's terrible. I mean, he threw 92 and threw some hittable pitches over the zone, but he were kind of in purgatory of, like, you're not so detrimental, Jack Flaherty, and you can be somewhat productive, but... I think he's a Toby kind of right now, Jack Flaherty. Andrew Heaney against the Astros. We didn't expect anything. At least he got a win. 5 innings, 300 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. But yeah, we don't really like what he's doing, and he kept his head above water, and I have no confidence in him moving forward. Ranger Suarez against the Orioles actually did have much better command. It was 6 innings, 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. 32% CSW, 13 whiffs here, and it is possible that he's actually taking the steps forward toward being that second half darling that we've seen from him in the past. The changeup was really good down and away. The cutter and cutter was inside to righties, which was good. It's almost there, and he does get the Marlins next, which might be the start where he does unlock, but I kind of wanted just to see it first. I feel like it's too risky at the moment with Ranger Suarez, as it could just be another bad ratio start like this. Jake Irvin against the Rockies in Rocky Road. 7 Ks is cool. 41% CSW on the pitch with his fastball up to 95, but it was 4 earned runs and 8 base runners in 6 innings against the Rockies, and you just can't do that. He needs a slider. And if Jake Irvin in the offseason or at some point introduces a slider that actually is effective and gets strikes and maybe gets some whiffs, like, I just need, like, an average-ish to slightly above-average slider, then Jake Irvin actually can be something. Joe Ryan against the Mariners, very disappointing. 3.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. Really good pitch separation. I actually think, like, the splitter is well commanded, but it's just not that good of a splitter. I think that's really it. And the sweeper had good CSW, but I think, like, it's not that pitch that really keeps guys honest. And he allowed some home runs, and it's just Joe Ryan isn't doing enough. Like, the 4-seamer needs to be truly, truly elite for him to get by with what he has in his secondaries right now. And that's really the issue I see. That's why he doesn't have an ace is going to ace label anymore. I think he can absolutely get back there, but it's frustrating right now as a Joe Ryan manager. Alec Marsh does not have a good fastball, and we had a good 11 strikeout game, but now here he is against the Guardians, 2.2 innings of 4 runs and 9 base runners, and yeah, no thanks. three Ks. Kyle Bradish against the Phillies was very disappointing. 6.2 innings, 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. I've seen so much about like Kyle Bradish needs to go up. Kyle Bradish. This is what happens when the slider isn't elite. It was a 20% CSW pitch. And I say this often of like when you are a slider focused guy, and he is a very, very good slider, it then becomes the next pitches. What are those? And the curveball was good, but it wasn't good enough. The four-seamer was his most thrown pitch, which is not what you want because I don't like that four-seamer, which means, that, oh, no, it had balls in play. So I want to see better command from Bradish here across the board, and he gets the Toronto next, and don't do this. I did feel like a Vargas roll a little bit, so I'm going to have him in questionable start there. Zach Gallen, I've been saying this is weird, and it's still weird. And he got the loss against the Cardinals, 6.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 8 Ks. Ah! He's going elevated four-seamers more often. I don't like this. I really don't think that that is how Gallen works. I think it's changeups and curveballs down under the zone at like an 80% low lock. Then you have four-seamers that are downstairs as well getting called strikes. I mean, I like the occasional high heater as like a surprise to strike pitch, but I don't think that's where he should be living. I think it's very strange right now. But we still just keep starting Zach Gallen, but this is why you see that kind of result of those bad ratios, because he doesn't have, I think, an approach that is getting the most out of what he does best, if that makes sense. It's not really sustainable and consistent, and it's frustrating to see that from Gallen. Tony Gonsolin against the Jays. It's the Jays. He's a Toby. Don't overthink this. He gets Athletics next. Great. He didn't do well. Who cares? Zach Eflin has negus discomfort. He's getting an MRI today, which, oh no! Obviously, like, we've seen a track record of injuries for Zach Eflin, but, I mean, this has been such a good run. We kind of forgot about that. At least I did. I didn't really care also. At the end of July right now, with 2 months left, like, injury track record to me is not nearly as significant because there's less time to get injured. You have the Marlins here, 4 innings of 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Very disappointing. I just hope he's okay, and at least he gave Sandy a win because of that. So there's some positivity. All right. Hopefully Eflin is good enough to pitch next time. I mean, we saw some knees at discomfort from Bobby Miller, and he was fine, right? So hopefully he's okay. Bryce Miller against the Twins got a win, but it was 5.2 innings of 6 earned runs as he allowed 4 home runs, all solo shots, and then 2 runners were on base, and those were inherited by the reliever, who then let them up with 2 outs, of course, in the 6th. Come on, Matt Bryce, you're still ruining me. 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. I still love him. I love the 4-seamer, but yeah, the secondaries are the problem, and it does open the door for some things like this where guys really are able to sell out on the fastball. Lance Lynn against the Cubs, 4.2 innings, 7 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Don't chase it anymore. I mean, this really was like the start. Be like, no, maybe one more time, and now you're like, okay, fine, Nick. Yeah. He might be pitching for a different team next week, so very curious about that, but I don't think he's going to get fixed unless it's like a very specific team. We'll see. Maybe he's an Astro. Marcus Stroman against the White Sox, 3.1 innings of 7 earned runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. Very disappointing as well. Honestly, I think like it just didn't go his way. A lot of the hits he allowed, you can see a lot of sinkers in the middle of the zone. You think, oh, well, clearly that's the problem. No, the hits he allowed were around the edges. It's just kind of what happens. Stroman has had a very low batting average allowed on his sinker thus far. It was usually above like 300s. It's been like 350 this year. And I think that's because of the infield defense and his generally very good ability to get that O-swing down on sinkers. It's been a little bit off lately, but I don't think like Stroman is now destined, just kind of like I was talking with Logan Gilbert, he's not destined to be that guy for the entire season. All right, looking forward to today and tomorrow, streamers. Today is very interesting because we only have 4 games, but now we have 5 because of the rainout yesterday with the Angels. And because the Angels acquired Lucas Giolito, they are now going to go Ohtani and Patrick Sandoval today, which means no Chase Silseth, who we were supposed to stream yesterday, didn't get it. It's all annoying. No Chase Silseth, which stinks because I really like this against the Tigers. They're like, I didn't expect us to have Chase Silseth. And then he shows up and they're like, no, he's going to start. And then he doesn't. And it's just like, why did you put him on the docket anyway? Whatever. Ohtani, Justin Steele, Dylan Cease, Kodai Senga at the top tier. Obviously, Tanner Bibee's in the second one against the White Sox. And Patrick Sandoval, Mike Lorenzen, and Matt Manning are in that questionable one. It's just really moving Sandoval and Lorenzen into where they were yesterday. And then Miles Michaelis and Josiah Gray do not start. I think this is all very clear. I like Lorenzen over Manning just because Lorenzen has come through while Manning is like weird. It's been more consistent, I think, with Lorenzen over the season. But the Angels are a top 3 WRC plus team, so I would not start any of those guys. And I have to take Manning as my stream pick of the day, which I don't like. I don't want to do that. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. Gerrit Cole, Shane McClanahan, Kevin Gausman, Max Scherzer. Ace is going to ace. You start them. Zach Wheeler against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Duh. There was some actually real fun today inside the stream, as because we're on playback.tv now, I can bring you guys from chat onto the live stream, and I can actually talk to you directly, and you can say, like, Nick, I think that Joe Musgrove, or actually Logan Webb should be underneath Joe Musgrove instead of doing Logan Webb versus Boston, Sonny Gray against the Royals, and Joe Musgrove under Texas, against Texas. And I understand that. And it was a fun conversation, and that's a kind of cool thing we can do now on playback.tv/pitcherlist. Come by 10 to 12, sometimes it's really like 12:30 in the morning Eastern time. So my office hours is where I answer all questions that you throw at me. So that's how I make myself accessible to you guys now. If you want any help with your fantasy teams, it's the best time. But I'm going to go with Logan Webb because he's just been so good for the past pretty much 2 months. And I know he didn't go through a good start last time. And Boston is hot right now, but it's not in Fenway. It's in San Francisco. I'm for that. Sonny Gray is innately volatile, I think, against the Royals. And Joe Musgrove was a little weird last time with his secondaries. It's been kind of a story of figuring those out. And it's Texas who's really good. I'm a little bit more worried about that one. Logan Gilbert's also here against the Diamondbacks. And please get the four-seamers back. Please get these splitters back. Like, it's just so frustrating. I really hope that you can do it. You should be able to do it. And actually, I didn't talk about it before with Stroman. It's the same idea. Logan Gilbert and him, where they are in this weird valley. And it's not all of a sudden like that's who they are for the rest of the year. Now, no, these are guys with track records that are going to go through that, and then they're going to be fixed. They're not just all of a sudden like not anything else that they've ever been. As Chris Towers would say, history did not begin six or four starts ago for these guys, right? Okay. Probably start here. It's Bobby Miller against the Reds. I really like that one. Jordan Montgomery against the Cubs. Grayson Rodriguez against the Yankees. Hopefully he gets those changeups down again. Lucas Giolito is now on the Angels, and I actually do think that with a trade like this, adrenaline will be higher, so that means we'll see the higher velocity, I think, from Lucas Giolito against Toronto, so I'm going to go for it. But I understand if you want to wait one start for this one. And same with Mitch Keller against the Phillies. I went back and forth on this, and I was like, you know what? Mitch Keller, you've done so well for so long. Like, I just want to try one more time against the Phillies, and the Phillies are a weird offense. But also, like, that could just not go well for you. And if you really want to put him in questionable start right now, I totally understand. Mitch Keller could just be not startable the rest of the year. So I totally get that. I think that's by your situation. If you're chasing quality start, I think you got to do it. If you're not, I think you can probably bench him. Questionable start tier, it's Christian Javier against the Rays. The Rays haven't been as hot, but Christian Javier, his slider strike rate, I think, is everything. We can actually track, like, his last 11 strikeout game. That was when strikes were 60% plus for the slider. Hasn't been since. And you saw the trend, even though he had like 100 run games or so, it was like 5 or 3 strikeouts, and it was low slider strikes. So yeah, that is still a problem for him. And until he gets that back, I don't really think that Christian Javier is going to be the guy. But I hope at some point he does get that tweak, and the Rays are not as scary as they used to be. Mackenzie Gore and Brady Singer are very clear cherry bombs, so there they are at 16 and 17. Cutter Crawford versus Reese Olson as a stream pick of the day is very difficult. And I went with Cutter Crawford because it's inside of San Francisco, and San Francisco has been way worse than the Marlins are. Reese Olson also hasn't had his changeup, which is annoying. And so I'm going to go with Crawford, even though he hasn't really gotten the slider sweeper that I wanted him to. And the bottom of the questionable start tier is Braxton Garrett against the Tigers. This is contentious because I think a lot of people still want to try Braxton Garrett, but it's been 4 starts of having no command. And I'm sure it could just come back. Absolutely. You don't start they don't tell you when the struggling is going to stop. It has to start with a good start, right? I don't want to go for it because I think we're in a situation where we just wait for Braxton Garrett to get it back and then we sign up again, right? You don't need to be big brained about it again, is what I'm trying to say. He's had great matchups and hasn't come through. So Braxton Garrett, to me, get your cutter and sinker command back in order. And also, the slider has not been as elite as it has been in the past. In the do not start tier, you have JP Sears in Coors. You have Noah Syndergaard for his new team with the Guardians against the White Sox. It seems like a good matchup, but it's Noah Syndergaard. And for Sears, it just thinks that it's Coors. Adrian Hauser just did 10 strikeouts against Atlanta, which is shocking to say the least. And now he's going to do 10 strikeouts again? No, I don't think so. That's not going to happen. I don't want to start him against Atlanta. In Atlanta, Tommy Henry against the Mariners. No, thank you. You don't have your slider. Dane Dunning has had a ridiculous ERA this year. And then we know that it's been a tease, the end of an ERA. Or the end of an era. That is an old pitcherless term. But we know that that's not going to last. And he gets the Padres. And I just don't want to do it. Yonny Chirinos is going to go as long as he can, really. Atlanta's going to just probably let him go as long as he wants. But that doesn't mean it's going to be good. Brandon Williamson is actually kind of interesting. He's throwing harder these days, and he needs to have his peak command here to come through as he gets the Dodgers. I just don't feel like it's worth it. Also, it's not a really high strikeout play at all. Tuki DeSant is not worth your time. Neither is Juice Smiley, as long as the curveball is not low. And Kyle Freeland is in cores against the Athletics, but it's also still ill situation. So absolutely not. All right, that is it for today. Thanks for listening once again. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure you go to playback.tv. Follow the channel. We have the trade deadline special with Paul Spohr on playback.tv/pitchless starting at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. It is so much fun. Really, I enjoy it so much. You should be there. Go hang out with us, and we can bring you on stage to react to your team's trades live. It is going to be the best time. So show up 3 p.m. Eastern time to playback.tv/pitcherlist. I obviously stream every single weekday morning from 10 to about 12:30 these days. So check me out there. It's all Eastern time, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. Give me your BABIPs below and your strikeouts high.